This is Vatican Radio, and I'm Susie Hodges. Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle, the Archbishop of Manila in the Philippines, was among the participants at this week's plenary assembly of the Pontifical Council for the Family in the Vatican. In an interview, he spoke to me of the winds of change arising from secularization and the new media that are buffeting the family in the Philippines, and how the Church can respond to these challenges. The Cardinal also spoke of the ambivalence of the success of our modern society and the wounds that this has inflicted on individuals and the family.
More and more, we give thanks to God for the gift of family. Yes, we are already beginning to see the effects on our Filipino families, the effects of, like, as you said, secularization, and the effects also of media and all of these things. No family is immune. But we also celebrate the fact that traditional values that have kept families together and alive are still there. And so we know that we have enough resources to keep the family strong in the face of some of these winds of change.
And do you think these winds of change are going to become stronger, more threatening? It's going to be more of an uphill battle?
In a sense, yes. But in one sense, we can welcome some of these winds of change and not feel threatened, because we believe that the resources and the imagination even of the Filipino families to keep themselves intact as a family are real. If the winds of change are real, I want to say that the desire of the families to be a family is more real.
What do you believe is the most effective approach that can be adopted by the Church to try to support the rights of the family in these, as we said, very challenging times?
First of all, I think we should be able to communicate to families, to legislators, to pastors, and all those people who, in a way, shape culture. We should be able to communicate to them clearly and in a manner that is understandable, chewable, as it were, some of the basic teachings of the Church, beautiful teachings of the Church regarding the family, about the human person, and even the charter of the rights of families. These things have not reached the different strata of society. If people see how much the Church loves the family, and many of the teachings of the Church, in fact, are acceptable even to non-Christians, then we can even form some sort of a community of a common vision and common mission regarding the family.
Turning to the world at large, what do you personally see as the most urgent challenges facing the Church today?
I think the Church all over the world is invited now to present the human face of Jesus. The world is experiencing a lot of success in terms of technology and science, you know, success unheard of before. Yet I think humanity is also very much aware of the ambivalence of the success and the wounds that this success has inflicted on individuals and the families. And so there is a hunger for love, a hunger for true and sincere compassion, a hunger for mercy, and a hunger for hope. And I believe the Church, by being the human face of love, mercy, and compassion, the way Jesus was for God, I think this is a great contribution, not only to Catholics and Christians, but to the whole of humanity.
Turning to Pope Francis's papacy, he's now been head of the Church for about 7 months. Mm-hmm. And many have commented on what they call his different style or his different tone, his different approach. What's your assessment so far of this papacy, which has made waves, hasn't it?
Yes. Even in Asia, no. First of all, there is much continuity in, for example, in the teaching. No, I have not heard anything from the Pope that is that contradicts anything of the Catholic tradition. You know, but I also see something which is not only unique to Pope Francis, but to all the past popes. They bring to the papacy, the papal ministry, their unique personalities, their backgrounds, their choices in life, their priorities. And each one, being true to himself, opens up to the whole world a dimension of the gospel. And I rejoice in that, this continuity, yet this deeply and intimately personal way of incarnating the papal ministry. And for Pope Francis, you see his roots in the world, in the family that has experienced migration. You see the significant role of the family, the grandmother. You see popular religiosity. You see a regular pastor's way of dealing with people. You know, I remember...
And a human warmth.
Yes, that warmth, really yes. When he celebrated Mass in St. Anne's Church after the conclave, he went right ahead to the crowds. You know? I overheard one of the guards saying, "Oh, no, 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 the Pope is mingling." But I told him, you know, this is how we are in our dioceses. In fact, for example, in the Philippines, you don't wait to go to the people. People just, when you say, "Go in peace," the Mass is ended. People just run to the pastor to touch you. So, and this is part of his papacy now.
You exude joy, and I think that somebody who smiles and is joyful. Do you think that too is a very key aspect when it comes to evangelizing, when it comes to proclaiming the gospel?
I have heard some people comment on that, especially the young. There was a survey in the Philippines, and they said, the young people said that they are turned off by a church that is quite judgmental, a church that comes across as pessimistic and heavy, that does not rejoice at anything as though there is no sign of hope, not even a single sign of hope in the world. And so they appreciate when there is the capacity to be happy and to be happy about life, to be joyful about life.
Not too many prohibitions or...
They sort of expect the church to say no to some things, but if they experience love and joy from us, then I think they're more disposed to listen to the no's.
How do you feel about the future of the Catholic Church?
I will answer this from my experience in Asia, where the church has remained a tiny minority.
Is it growing, though?
Well, numerically growing.
In the Philippines, I mean.
In the Philippines and in other parts of Asia. But when you take the ratio of the Catholic population vis-a-vis the general population, it still is. It's not even 4% of the total population. And half of it is in the Philippines. But when you hear stories of the faithful, when you hear the stories of men and women who are able to proclaim Jesus not so much through words, but through the witness of a heroic life, and people become curious, why are you good? Why are you forgiving? Why do you help us? Who are you? Then they say the word, Jesus. And for as long as there are individuals, families, maybe 20 of them in a village of 2,000, the church is alive. And I see this becoming the pattern, even in the West. But we have to accept this as a mode of being church, humble, joyful.
So it's the importance of the role model. And Pope Francis, of course, has often talked about the fact that the clergy should avoid lavish lifestyles and be more humble, closer to their flock. And this is something that really resonates.
Yes. Because in many parts of Asia, that is the way to evangelize. That's the way to proclaim the good news, by incarnating, as it were, the values of the kingdom, being the embodiment of the Beatitudes. And that's a powerful proclamation.